Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It, and we've been talking about why mutual aid groups have emerged to help fill in the gaps in government assistance during the coronavirus outbreak. Joining me now are two people who have been leading and organizing mutual aid groups in New York neighborhoods since the beginning of the outbreak. Whitney Hu is one of the founders of South Brooklyn Mutual Aid, which helps neighbors in Sunset Park, Bay Ridge, Bensonhurst, and surrounding neighborhoods. She's worked as a community organizer and for city council. Whitney, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
And Mamita Ahmed is the founder of the Queens Mutual Aid Network, which helps families in Corona and Jamaica. Her background is in digital organizing, and she's running for Democratic District Leader in Assembly District 24 in Northeast Queens. Mamita, welcome as well. Oh, she's not there. Okay, Mamita, we're trying to get Mamita up on the phone. Whitney, we're going to start with you. You're up. What are the biggest needs that you are seeing in South Brooklyn neighborhoods that serve you?
Yeah, I think right now we're seeing a lot of food insecurities, which is what our mutual aid group primarily responds to. On top of that, though, we're also seeing a lot of need for rent assistance and cash assistance. Our neighborhood is full of immigrants and some who are undocumented who haven't been served by either the state or the federal government. And so those are some of the needs that we're seeing.
You know, some mutual aid groups started by pairing neighbors with a neighbor who delivered food being directly reimbursed for the groceries they bought. That was one model. I understand that didn't work for very long in South Brooklyn Mutual Aid. What happened?
Yeah, we started off primarily thinking that we were going to just, you know, kind of arrange neighbors to be working and supporting other neighbors and standing in solidarity with them. But we quickly saw that with a lot of folks losing their jobs and their income and unable to work, that people weren't able to actually pay for the groceries. And I remember a moment when I had a mother ask me if she could set up a payment plan to reimburse for her groceries. And we were like, we have to change that. And So for us, it's not fundraising. We kind of joke that we're redistributing the wealth. And so we're asking folks to crowdfund, and we've been able to actually purchase folks' groceries enough to last for a week and a half.
Are you partnering with other organizations, or is South Brooklyn Mutual Aid on its own?
No, we a lot of us are volunteers who have some like long existing roots in the community. So I definitely think there are other amazing organizations that have come together to respond to food needs, and we support each other by passing off like extra food that we have or any tips or recommendations. We're also working with some schools and community partners like AMS and Workers Justice Project, and sort of supporting them. We know that while we're able to see some people who need help, we're not able to see everybody. And so schools working with our social workers will send us families who might need assistance, and we're able to reach out and provide groceries for them too.
And at this point, how many requests a day are you getting at South Brooklyn Mutual Aid?
We peak, so sometimes it depends on the day. It depends when rent is due, to be honest, and you can see the trends. But we're seeing around an average of 60 to 70 families requesting food. We've worked really hard to scale up. To date, we've helped over 2,000 families, and we're able to, at the moment, provide grocery boxes for 500 families weekly. It was a slow scaling up, but we were able to reach that this past week.
My guest is Whitney Hu, founder of South Brooklyn Mutual Aid. We're also joining the conversation is Mamita Ahmed, founder of Queens Mutual Aid Network. And Mamita, what kind of requests are you getting at Queens Mutual Aid Network?
Yeah, we're getting requests for groceries and food and translation services for help with unemployment. Sometimes we also get requests from people for legal service because many have questions regarding rent and what they're going to do about that. So these are questions that we receive. Queens is also a very diverse borough, so we have a lot of people with language needs, and we're really proud that we were able to provide that for folks.
We were discussing this issue with Gia Tolentino earlier, and I don't know if you heard or not, but she described sort of the way that the internet and being online and Zoom and Google spreadsheets have really made this possible. But for some people, that's a barrier, especially for some older folks who are people, or not even older, just people who don't have access to something like a Google spreadsheet, don't have access to the internet. What are you doing? What's a workaround for you folks at Queens Mutual Aid to make sure that what's going on is accessible?
Yeah, so our back end, when I designed it, I really thought about my parents who are immigrants and can't speak English and how they would be able to access this kind of, mutual aid effort / aid. And so we had a system where we have trained folks that speak multiple languages to function as dispatchers that intake requests coming in either by phone or by, word of mouth or flyers or whatever it is. And we just created sort of like a centralized intake system, supply and chain system, where requests can come in from any direction, but at the end of the day, it ultimately goes into our system so our dispatchers can track it. And then we have groups set up, WhatsApp groups, which people are familiar with because it's just like Messenger, right? And we have WhatsApp groups set up where we just put the message down, the request down with the phone and the number and the name, and we have a group of volunteers and then look at it and they go, okay, I'm going to take this person, I'm going to call this person, and then our dispatchers are kind of just tracking it. So that system allows us to talk to anybody. Like, we've had elected officials call through seniors and send people our way. We've had, we've advertised our mutual aid networks to ethnic media to reach more communities. We've worked with community groups and community-based organizations so that we're able to really tap in to marginalized groups that don't have access to an social media or email address. And that's something we also noticed the city had done. They've created food meals programs that require an email address just to access it. And we're like, that's not how it should be.
What about privacy? A lot of people don't want to hand over their information to someone they don't know.
Yeah, that's absolutely important to us. And that's part of the reason why we didn't make spreadsheets public like other mutual aid groups early on, because especially in America, we have an issue with ICE and we have an issue with racism. And so we wanted to make sure that people's information was protected. And we also understood that undocumented community members are going to be at the front lines of this crisis, and we need to do everything to protect them. So we've had people use groups like use Airtable and private Google Docs that you have passwords and you only give access to vetted people. So for us, we have 9 dispatchers. They're all women, mostly women of color, and they're sort of the ones who have the passwords to our back end. And then our volunteers are just on WhatsApp, and they, so we're able to actually kind of keep the data private as to the best of our abilities. And we also try not to collect any data that's not necessary. We also have a policy of not sharing our data with organizations or individuals or campaigns and things like that. So that's just to have some accountability and safeguarding policies.
My guests are Mamita Ahmed, founder of Queens Mutual Aid Network, and Whitney Hu, founder of South Brooklyn Mutual Aid. So, Whitney, what was something that was hard or challenging about getting your group up and running?
I think for us it was, I think it was like the idea of like trying to scale. I think for especially around needing groceries, we just saw so many people who really just needed assistance, and that the city really didn't respond to food or even translated resources at the beginning. We're in a community where we have a high amount of Chinese and Spanish speakers, and especially at the very beginning of the pandemic, you know, we weren't getting translated resources out until like 1 to 2 weeks later. And so I think for us, it was a mix of making sure that people were staying informed and knowing when they needed to wear masks or not wear masks or where testing sites are, but also trying to make sure everybody was able to get groceries. And that was, I think, really tough, both like emotionally, just knowing that we would have young children calling and advocating and trying to get food from volunteers, all the way to seeing how our seniors were being treated by the city, you know, receiving applesauce and packets of chips and wanting to make sure that the food we were providing was actually what people cook with at home, like, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I think that was some of the harder parts that we definitely had to work through. And part of the reason why we switched to a mass distribution style, we now work with grocery stores and wholesale vendors and able to provide grocery boxes at a larger scale. But until we reached that, that was really tough.
Wamita, who are your volunteers?
Our volunteers, we have around 300 of them. They're all over Queens. The majority of them are from the communities, and they're younger. So, you know, they're like a motley crew of folks, and we love it. It's great.
Have you, what happens when everybody goes back to work? You said it's younger people. I'm assuming some of them are people who are staying home or perhaps have been furloughed. Have you made plans, Whitney, for, or Mamita, whoever wants to take this one, when the stay-at-home order is lifted?
Yeah, so we're moving towards... Oh, okay.
Mamita, go ahead. Mamita, why don't you go ahead and then I'll
Whitney.
No, Mamita,
you go.
So our plan right now is to shift towards helping undocumented folks and making sure that they have the resources to stay and continue to, like, survive, because most people have gotten their stimulus checks, most people have gotten their unemployment checks, but undocumented people are still in a lot of trouble. They did not get those resources. So, and then the volunteers that we have, we want to make sure that they still stay connected, which is part of the reason why we chose WhatsApp as a platform, because it, that way the chats can still continue. And we can still mobilize our volunteers, especially push them towards more political work around, issues like healthcare for all and housing justice and comprehensive criminal justice reform and things like that. Like, we do want our volunteers to stay engaged with us in other ways.
How about for you, Whitney?
I think it's in twofold for us. We're having those conversations, and, you know, we're trying to build ways to facilitate those conversations with our wider, you know, we have around 450 volunteers and also the people that we have worked with and our neighbors to sort of talk about the future of South Brooklyn Mutual Aid. I think it's in two parts. Like, we're also supporting a lot of community members and organizations that have been doing food distribution with volunteers and making sure that people are staying tapped in with longtime community partners. My other idea, and this is something that I keep joking about, but I think becomes more real every day, is how do we build a system where we are able to build a sustainable way to keep providing food justice, because food insecurities existed prior to the pandemic. So we've been talking about CSAs or food co-ops. What if it looks like to kind of reclaim our waterfront in Sunset Park and build a food co-op that has fresh, accessible food at prices, and then also making sure that we keep the food grocery boxes like on a weekly basis, because even for some people, membership and volunteering is a barrier. And that way we can kind of build a way to do this that isn't reliant on crowdfunding. So a lot of conversations, and, you know, we're going to keep kind of exploring it, but I think we've built a community, and I hope that we keep this togetherness that we've seen. And, you know, after what we've seen in situations like Occupy Sandy, like, people come together and they build really great things, and we want to make sure we keep that momentum.
My guests have been Whitney Hu, founder of South Brooklyn Mutual Aid, and Mumita Ahmed, founder of Queens Mutual Aid Network. Thank you so much for sharing your stories with us.
Thank you so much.